From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Listener, here is the news read by Ahmad Faisal. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo inaugurates a Rayon factory in Riau. BNPB collaborates with Gojek for disaster mitigation. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo inaugurated the Asia Pacific Rayon APR factory in Pelalawan Regency, Riau Province on Friday. In his speech, he admitted that he was surprised because he had just learned that APR has advanced technology to produce 200 million industrial plant seeds in the form of acacia and eucalyptus. President Joko Widodo also admired the APR technology, which is able to process wood fibers into rayon-type textile. He added that the Indonesian government is committed to supporting the investment climate because many people do not yet realize that the business community has a major role in supporting the circulation of money and also the economy. Therefore, he asked the Ministry of Industry to support the development of the Indonesian garment industry in a bid to go global more widely. The National Disaster Mitigation Agency, or BNPB, in collaboration with the startup company Gojek, a technology company that provides transportation services for disaster mitigation. Gojek becomes the first on-demand company to collaborate with BNPB in managing disaster relief in Indonesia. Head of BNPB, Doni Monardo, in a written statement received in Jakarta on Friday, underlined that disaster mitigation efforts are a joint affair. Pentahelix is a concrete effort by BNPB in the form of involving five parties: the government, the community, the business world, academics or experts, and the mass media in disaster mitigation. The collaboration includes the placement of disaster information content embedded in the Gojek application, training of Gojek employees and partners, and provision of personal and logistical assistance. The National Library of Indonesia collaborates with the National Library of the Netherlands in Leiden to digitize collections about Indonesia. This was stated by head of the Indonesian National Library, Muhammad Syarif Bando, during a press conference in Jakarta on Friday.
Saat ini kami sedang jalan dengan Leiden.
Right now we are cooperating with Leiden, the Dutch government, to digitize our collections in the Netherlands, where we will take them back next, because the Indonesian people must know that the 3/4 of collections in the entire Dutch library about Indonesia, and they have been collected for hundreds of years. This further convinces us how the developed countries are hungry for reading materials, no matter from which country is. The press conference was held related to the plan of the National Library to hold a national coordination meeting for Indonesian librarians with the theme Librarian Innovation and Creativity in Strengthening Literacy Culture to Achieve Superior Human Resources Towards Indonesia Onward. The National Coordination Meeting will take place in Jakarta from 21st until 27th February 2020 and is scheduled to be officially opened by Minister of Home Affairs Tito Karnavian. Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, or MPR, Bambang Susatyo, supported the Ministry of Defense policy, which would form the National Defense Reserves component and has to recruit as many as 25,000 youths aged 18 until 35 to join. He considered that the country's defense reserve component could strengthen Indonesian Armed Forces or TNI when the country is in a state of emergency. In his statement in Jakarta on Friday, he asked the government to immediately issue a government regulation on the components of the National Defense Reserve so that it could be immediately disseminated to the public. He also asked the Ministry of Defense to cooperate with the Ministry of Communication and Informatics in campaigning for the country's Defense Reserve Component Program. Governor of Central Java, Ganjar Pranowo, released 10 units of double-decker buses made by Karoseri Laksana to Bangladesh. The departure of the double-decker bus export, which was marked by jug watering by Governor Ganjar Pranowo, took place at Laksana Karoseri Factory, Semarang Regency on Friday. When he arrived at the location, Governor Ganjar immediately tested one of the double-decker buses with 14.4 meters long and 4.1 meters high. The buses are designed by Indonesians. He said he was happy because the businessman made use of export facilities provided by the government, such as import ease incentives for export purposes. He also stressed that the government would fully support the progress of the business world, especially those focused on export. The International Air Transportation Association, or IATA, estimates that airlines operating in the Asia-Pacific region are estimated to lose revenues of $27.8 billion, or the equivalent of 380 trillion rupiah, due to the recent outbreak of the coronavirus. The largest revenue loss will be experienced by Chinese airlines. Chinese airlines will lose revenues worth $12.8 billion. In addition to having an impact of airlines in the Asia-Pacific region, IATA also stated that the spread of the virus would also have an impact on airline revenues outside the region. According to their projections, coronavirus could reduce airline revenue outside in the Asia-Pacific region to $1.5 billion. Indonesia plans to use a naval ship to pick up its citizens suspected of contracting coronavirus or COVID-19 aboard Dream World Cruise Liner, where they are employed as crew members. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Secretary of the Directorate General of Disease Prevention and Control of the Health Ministry, Ahmad Yuryanto, in Jakarta Friday said that technically, the Indonesian Navy ship will meet Dream World Cruise Liner in the international waters near Bintan Island. He further said that from the cruise liner, the Indonesian citizens will be transferred to the naval ship on the lifeboat. The Malaysian flag cruise liner reportedly dropped all its passengers in Hong Kong and later sailed only with 1,104 crew members on board. Some 270 of the crew members are Indonesian citizens. After all passengers left the cruise liner, the Hong Kong authorities check all crew members using polymerase chain reaction or PCR, and all of them tested negative for coronavirus. However, a few days after the passengers left the cruise liner, one of them was found testing positive for the coronavirus. Well, listener, that's the news read by Ahmad Faisal.
The first news comes from Tangerang, Banten. Tangerang Mayor Arif Wismansyah last Thursday inaugurated the flying track in the city forest and launched the park portal application to make it easier for the public to find out about thematic parks and also borrowing public facilities in the park. On that occasion, Arif said the urban forest is a theme park that is worth visiting by people from inside and outside the city of Tangerang. In addition, the garden portal application is expected to provide information and education about plant types, plant benefits, and animal types. In addition to flying track, in the Tangerang City Forest, there are 10 species of poultry such as pigeons, geese, pearl chickens, turkeys, and dwarf chickens. The next news comes from Palangkaraya, Central Kalimantan. Three orangutans were released in the Bukit Baka Bukit Raya National Park in the Tumbang Hiran Resort, the management section of Kasongan National Park Region 2, Central Kalimantan. The CEO of Borneo Orangutan Survival Foundation, Jamartin Sihite, in Palangkaraya said Wednesday that the three orangutans have been undergoing rehabilitation for several years at the Foundation Nyaru Menteng Rehabilitation Center, Central Kalimantan. Meanwhile, the head of the Bukit Baka Bukit Raya National Park, Agung Nugroho, said that the area had been declared eligible as an orangutan release site that had undergone rehabilitation. The area has the availability of plant species, the right height from the sea level, minimal presence of wild orangutans, capacity, and far from access to human activities. Since 2016 until now, there have been a total of 171 orangutans released in the Bukit Baka Bukit Raya National Park. The latest news comes from Bangka Belitung. The Batu Rusa Cerucuk Watershed Management and Watershed Management Center Bangka Belitung Islands Province built a Gaharu or Agarwood Nursery for its Latin name Aquilaria malasensis in Namang Village Central Bangka Regency to increase the number of plants and commodity production. Head of the Batu Rusa Cerucuk Watershed and Forest Management Center, Maman Sudarman, in Namang Central Bangka Regency, on Tuesday explained that Namang Village was used as a large scale of Gaharu or Agarwood nursery because the local government is focusing on developing the high-value plants. Maman hopes that the Agarwood nursery can help farmers who are diligently cultivating Agarwood plants both individually and in groups. Well, that was news from Indonesia over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is Today in History. We begin Today in History with the event of February 22, 1958, that the United Arab Republic was signed. The United Arab Republic is a country which was established between 1958 and 1961. This republic is a combination between Egypt and Syria. The United Arab Republic is the idea of Jamal Abdul Nasser. It was the first step to materialize pan-Arab country. President Nasser and President Shukri al-Quwatli signed the unity agreement on February 22, 1958. Nasser was appointed to be the president of the United Arab Republic and Cairo was made to be the capital. We turn to the event of February 22, 1997, that the first cloned dolly sheep mammal was announced. A team of British scientists led by Ian Wilmot at the Roslin Institute near Edinburgh, Scotland, on February 22, 1997, announced the existence of a Iwi named Dolly. Dolly becomes special because it is the first mammal to be cloned completely. The cloning research is a collaboration of the Roslin Institute, which is part of the University of Edinburgh, and the biotechnology company PPL Therapeutics. We end today in history with the event of February 22, 2012 that Kevin Rudd resigned from his position. Australian Foreign Minister Kevin Rudd resigned from his position during a press conference on the sidelines of a state visit in Washington, United States, on February 22, 2012. The reason for his resignation was because he felt that he did not get support and trust again from Prime Minister Julia Gillard. Well, listener, that's Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Ku ingin cinta hadir untuk selamanya, bukan hanyalah untuk sementara, menyapa dan hilang, terbit tenggelam bagai pelangi.
Tune to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today is on House of Representatives approves plastic bag excise. Indonesian House of Representatives Commission 11 finally approved the imposition of excise for plastic bags proposed by Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani. The agreement was reached at a meeting at the Parliament Building in Jakarta on Wednesday, February the 19th. They even argued the government wanted to focus and prioritize environmental and health factors, so plastic excise should not only be applied to plastic bags but also to plastic products such as beverage packaging, instant food packaging, and the like. One member of the House of Representatives Commission 11, Dolphy, believes plastic excise should also be applied to plastic with a larger volume and longer recycling process. The House agreed to expand excise objects into plastic products such as beverage bottles and food packaging. Responding to the proposal, Minister Sri Mulyani said the government would redesign its policy. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani explained the government's plan, namely the excise tax rate of plastic bags of 30,000 rupiah per kilogram or 200 rupiah per sheet, so that way retailers will charge around 200 to 500 rupiah per sheet for consumers who want to get plastic bags. Sri Mulyani added, currently plastic bags have also been paid around 200 to 500 rupiah per sheet. Because there has been a circular from the Ministry of Environment and Forestry since 2016. But according to Sri Mulyani, all this time the plastic bag levies have been unclear. For this reason, excise is applied so that the levy is clearly entered into the state treasury. In addition, the excise tax in all regions will be the same. Sri Mulyani explained the 30,000 rupiah per kilogram excise tax was among the lowest compared to other countries. Indonesia's closest neighbor, Malaysia, charges around 63,000 rupiah per kilogram. Of the 10 ASEAN countries, only 4 have implemented plastic excise, namely the Philippines, Cambodia, Vietnam, and Malaysia. So Indonesia became the 5th country to implement it. One of the goals of this plastic excise tax is to control consumption in the community because it is the biggest contributor to environmental pollution. At present, consumption reaches 107 million kilograms. With this tax, the figure is predicted to drop by half to 53 million kilograms. That was my Indonesia Today on House of Representatives approves plastic bag excise. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta from Indonesia to the world.
Kehabisan cara untuk jelaskan padamu, mengapa sulit untuk lupakanmu. Aku kehabisan cara untuk gambarkan padamu, kau di mata dan di pandanganku. Coba sehari saja,
coba
satu hari saja, kau jadi diriku.
Kau akan mengerti,
kau akan mengerti bagai mana ku melihatmu mengagumimu menyayangi. Dari sudut pandangku, dari sudut pandangku, aku kehabisan cara untuk gambarkan padamu, kau di mata dan di pandanganku. Seandainya satu hari bertukar jiwa, kau akan mengerti.
dan berhenti. Bertanya-tanya,
coba sehari saja,
coba satu hari saja, kau jadi diriku,
kau akan mengerti,
kau akan mengerti bagaimana ku melihatmu.
Coba sehari saja,
kau jadi diriku,
kau akan mengerti,
kau akan mengerti bagaimana ku melihatmu, mengagumimu, menyayangi. Dari sudut pandangku, oh, dari sudut pandangku, oh, dari sudut pandangku.
RRI was office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to introduce you to Hucap Culinary from Kuningan, West Java. Listener, breakfast is important for culinary and travel enthusiasts. Having breakfast gives travelers not only energy to explore their destinations, but also new experiences about local culture and culinary. Today we are going to introduce you to Hucap, which is the traditional culinary of Kuningan, West Java. Hucap is the traditional food of Kuningan, which is made from fried tofu and rice cake. There are various dishes made from tofu and rice cake in Indonesia. However, each region in Indonesia has its own variety, including the way of serving of the food. For example, such dish is known as ketoprak in Cirebon. Ketoprak is made from cake, which is mixed with other ingredients such as vermicelli, bean sprout, cucumber, and crackers. Hucap is another variety of dish made from tofu and rice cake. The name of Hucap is the abbreviation of tahu, which means tofu, and ketchup, which means soy sauce. Hucap is usually served for breakfast or lunch. Rice cake, which is one of the main ingredients of the dish, is cut and added with pieces of fried tofu. Afterwards, the dish is mixed with peanut sauce and thick soy sauce. Usually, people use fork to eat hucap. Hucap is rich in flavors. The texture of the rice cake is chewy. It also has sweet and sour flavors. Hucap can be easily found at traditional markets. Hucap vendors only serve the traditional hucap from Kuningan and black tea without sugar. If you want to have other drinks, you can buy at other stalls. Hucha vendors open from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. The price of hucha is also affordable. Namely, it ranges only from 6,000 rupiah to 10,000 rupiah. Make sure to wake up earlier if you want to taste hucha because it is rather difficult to find it in the afternoon. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today about Hucap Culinary from Kuningan, West Java. I'm Putri Safira Adala. See you next time.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Begitu lama tersisa air mata, banyaknya kenangan yang tak akan terlupakan, masa-masa yang indah, masa-masa kita bersama. Perasaan mendalam yang takkan pernah reda. Ku maafkan aku tak pernah mendengar. Maafkan aku tak pernah melihatmu pergi. Ku ingin kau di sini.
Coba melewatinya, lepas, lepaskan semua yang sudah berlalu. Tapi tanpa dirimu tak mungkin ku terus berlari tanpa kaki.
Semakin terbayang lalu.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to miscellany. Today we will inform you about Indonesian designer displays her unique work on NYFW 2020. So stay tuned with us at www.vinews.id. Thanks to her love of art and fashion, Maggie Hutauruk again exhibited her best works at the World Fashion Show, namely the New York Fashion Week or NYFW 2020, with the theme Fall Winter Collections 2021, which lasted for 3rd to 12th of February 2020. Maggie Hutauruk, as the owner of the Two Madison Gallery and Two Madison Avenue Fashion Label, got the chance to display her fashion collections on February 10, 2020. Maggie presents a theme that is being discussed by many groups, namely Indonesian diversity. With this theme, some models also demonstrated 16 pieces of ready-to-wear clothing for summer and spring 2020 from environmentally friendly materials, as well as 6 additional pieces of clothing to be presented after the performance was over. Uniquely, the picture on Maggie's fashion shows an unusual picture, the face of an important person in Indonesia, namely President of the Republic of Indonesia Joko Widodo and former Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujiastuti. The two figures are considered to be role models and as a form of environmental care campaigns as well. In addition, the masks that are currently being worn by citizens of the world to ward off the coronavirus are also an inspiration for Maggie by the models. Maggie explained that on this occasion at NYFW 2020, she wanted to be able to campaign for something other than the existing clothing collection. Through her work, Maggie wants to express her concern and leaves a message of concern for the environment. Of course, in a presentation of the typical style of the fashionable, wearable, and beautiful. Apparently, not only this year, Maggie displays unique things in her work. At NYFW 2019, this is making clothing by recycling sacks of flour. Maggie is one of the many children of the nation who gives pride to Indonesia through her creativity and innovation. Surely, this should be emulated and used as motivation for other children of the nation. Well, listener, that was miscellany for today about Indonesian designer displays her unique work on NYFW 2020. We'll meet again with other interesting topics. See you next time.
hingga ku menutupnya kembali. Kau sirnakan kabut kelabu di sabana pencarianku, bagai embun pagi kau lepaskan dahaga kemarau. Hati kaulah lukisan pagi, aku gambar untuk senjaku. Kaulah selaksa bunga yang warnai musim semiku. Di kala hati ini gundah, kau membuatnya menjadi cerah. Kaulah matahariku dan kaulah samudra, tempat hatiku bermuara. Kau jawaban dari doaku yang akhiri penantianku, bagai bintang jatuh kau hadirkan harapan di dalam hati. Kaulah deburan ombak yang pecahkan batu karangku. Kaulah gugusan bintang yang hiasi malam gelap. Kala hati ini gundah, kau membuatnya menjadi cerah. Kaulah matahariku dan kaulah samudra, tempat hatiku bermu. Tempat hatiku bermuara.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner, about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition, I'm going to present you a keroncong song entitled Fantasi. The song was composed by Pete Munandar, which describes how a song, its music and lyric can influence listeners. Its flowing rhythm is able to change mood for anyone who hears it. This keroncong song entitled Fantasi can entertain someone's mood or make someone's heart blue. Well, listener, here is M. Rivani with keroncong song entitled Fantasi.
Thank you. Of Indonesia.
Dosakah hamba mimpi mesra tadi malam. Dosakah hamba mengujani kau dalam mimpi? Hanya dalam mawar di taman hayalku, tak mungkin Tuhan terpetik daku. Namun aku bahagia seribu satu dosakah hamba mimpi berkasih dengan Tuhan? Ujung jarimu ku cium mesra tadi malam. Dosakah hamba seribu satu malam.
Voice of Indonesia.
Benarnya tak segala
listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safidadala. See you on the next English program.